You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. I am Josh and I am joined by my co-host Alex. We are here a week after our New York Giants draft recap. If you haven't already, please give that a listen as we gave an in-depth look into the Giants draft picks going from round one all the way through the undrafted free agents as well. I remember it was getting so not repetitive, Alex, but like there are so many guys we signed, I think 14 in total. Undrafted free agents that by the time we were getting to that number 7 or 8 spot, we were kind of just running through it a little bit faster than the other ones, just trying to get through each school, each player, each position. So that was pretty fun. Now, I would say we start to get into not yet, but yeah, sort of. After we get past the schedule release, which will be later this week, and we're super excited because I'm sure we'll have an episode kind of getting into that and starting to do some schedule of, predictions, excuse me. That'll be later this week. Once we get past that point, that's kind of when we get to that dead part of the offseason. From this time in mid-May to, I would say, what, early to late August or July, right? Because training camps, I believe, starts in late July, if I'm not mistaken, or if not, like other type of camps, OTAs and stuff. And the rookie mini camps, they'll be happening as well, but we don't get fed as much news. And there's not so many rumors in those type of little tiny camps as there are when we get to OTAs and training camps. So we're going to be here. I'm going to go with weekly, you know, most likely. We'll be here weekly throughout this part of the offseason and hope to give you the best content we can. That's all I'm going to say because a lot of the time I overcommit us and I say words that I shouldn't, like, yeah, we're going to be doing all this. And, you know, I get upset when we don't get to that or something. I did that with the draft. I was like, we're going to go through our top guys at every position. And we just didn't get through it. And that was, you know, too high of standards. But I'm going to stop talking now because I've talked for the last 2 minutes straight and send it to my co-host, Alex. How's your week been? Well, I know how your week's been, but let's fake that I don't. Alex, how's your week been?
My week's been going well. It's certainly been a little bit disappointing now that the draft's over. It definitely kind of lowers your mood, but it was certainly a fun week of knowing that we had a pretty decent draft and we're moving in the right direction. I'd say in terms of the off season, you're right. Like when this training camp, I believe it starts end of July, early August in terms of when training camp begins. Like I just said, I don't know, I'm repeating myself, but yeah, it's certainly a dead period, but, you know, hopefully we might have a few people on. It's always a fun time to have guests on.
So you're already doing it. I was going to say that. And then I was like, no, because what if we don't have any guests on? You're like already teasing it. And we don't know that.
Well, we will try to have some guests on. There we go. That will make the off season a lot more interesting. But, you know, right now there's actually quite a bit to talk about still. So I guess we can get into it. And Joe Shane just completely clearing house. Well, not completely. He fired 3 people, but clearing house, or 2 main people, clearing house mainly of some of the dead weight and some of the people that the Giants fans have been begging for to be gone for a long time. Not Chris Mara, unfortunately, because he is the brother of the owner, John Mara. So he's not gone, but a couple other guys are.
Yeah, Alex, I was actually going to, you know, keep the talk going for a little bit. I was just going to say how, you know, it's nice at school now that we're not getting made fun of because of a bad draft by the Giants or a mistake that they make or a loss that they have. But it does suck when you're bored in class now. There's no highlights or, you know, or prospect reports to do. That really was my devoted time when I was bored sitting in class, I was like, let me, you know, pull up on the computer some prospects here. Let me get some reports on them. Let me write some bullet points down. It's putting draft content out on social media. I don't have that anymore. It's kind of, it sucks. It really does. So, and I'm sure you were doing a lot of the same there with your draft. A lot of our Daniel Jeremiah work was coming in the middle of like a Spanish period or ELA or something when we just like we're not doing anything. So I'm sure you can relate.
Don't tell our Spanish teacher. Yeah. Oh, love the guy. Anyway.
But yeah, let's get into the content here. People don't have to hear about this forever. Although definitely some stories to share of how many draft prospects I went through during class periods. Anyway. Yes, what you're talking about, moving on from scouts, the Giants are moving on from Chris Pettitte and Kyle O'Brien, specifically Pettitte being the team's director of college scouting, and O'Brien, a senior personnel executive, are not being retained. Pettitte has actually been with the team for a long time, since Tom Coughlin's first year, I want to say, as a coach was in 2004. That's when he was hired. And then O'Brien, just since 2021, Dave Gettleman's guys there. I made a video on the Giant Take YouTube channel that you can go check out. So if you want to see my sort of instant reactions to that, that's on the YouTube channel. And then I guess in replacement here, we don't know specific roles yet. I think still, even though it was a couple days ago, recording this Sunday, May 8th, Sunday night, May 8th. Happy Mother's Day also. Forgot to mention that in the beginning. Happy Mother's Day to anyone celebrating or who celebrated by the time you listen to this. So this came out, I believe, a couple days ago on May 6th, but yet we still don't, the role is still unknown. But the Giants are hiring Bears area scout Scott Hamill in an unknown role. That was per at Inside the League. Hamill has been with the Bears for 7 years at this point. He doesn't appear to have a direct connection to Giants general manager Joe Shane, which most of his hirings do. So that's pretty interesting there. That comes from NJ.com writer Zach Rosenblatt. So you would assume replacing one of those roles as the, I don't think the personnel executive, maybe he comes in and is going to be the team's director of scouting. We'll have to wait and see. But that's the scouting and management roles, I guess. It's a couple guys that have been fired by the New York Giants.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Pettitte is obviously infamous for the Saquon Barkley pick, those images at the combine with Saquon. That's really what he's known for, and just obviously a bad history of drafts recently with the New York Giants. Yeah, I mean, I don't really like, I'm not going to be one of those people who sits here, starts celebrating, singing that someone got fired. Cause you know, these are jobs. These are people with actual jobs. As much as you may dislike them, it is, you know, it's a little bit disingenuous to be laughing in their face when obviously this affects them and their families. But yes, for pure Giants team perspective, I think these are good moves. Anyway, moving on there, Josh, you got something about that? Or
yeah, sorry. Just, I mean, can't speak on O'Brien personally, but with the resume that Pettitte has, I won't be surprised if a team actually picks him up sometime in the next couple months anyway, because he's got a big resume to his name. Having to be on a team as a scout for over, what is that, 16 years? Can I count correctly? 2004, 2022.
That is 18 years.
So it is over 16 years. So I guess I got something right.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So to be with a team for that long, that's a pretty good resume. You'll get hired sometime soon. But yes, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. What I was going to move to next is obviously the schedule's coming out on Thursday fully, but they're doing this weird thing. Well, I mean, it's not weird. They're just trying to make money. That they're they're trying to drag out the schedule release throughout the week. So like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's like ESPN, then CBS, then NBC. Like they're each doing, don't quote me on the order. It's certain order, but they're kind of like releasing each game or like a few games individually, like the biggest Monday night football matchup, the biggest Sunday night football matchup, like on Monday and then on Tuesday. And then the full schedule is going to be released Thursday at 8 o'clock. But we did hear the first Giants game. They announced all the international games first, and the Giants will be playing in London at Tottenham Stadium. If you listen to our Chelsea podcast, Talking Blues, you know we're not a big fan of that place, but we'll be supporting it there for the Giants. And they're going to be playing there on October 9th, 2022, this year, obviously, at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. So get your breakfast ready. The Giants are playing in the morning, and that will be week 5. And also, the Giants will not be electing to take their bye week, week six either, which you do have the option to do post an international game. But someone made a good point on Twitter. I don't remember who, but I saw it. It's very similar to going to the West Coast, right? West Coast, you're flying. It's what, five and a half hours. UK, 5.5, 6 hours, 6.5 hours. So it's really not too big of a difference.
Besides the time change,
there's a two hour difference, right? It's 3 hours back going West Coast and 2 hours and 5 hours forward going to the UK. But yeah, I kind of agree with that decision. No need to take the bye week right after that. Wish I could go to that game. That'd be really cool to go to an overseas game. Don't think it's going to happen, but certainly fun. I know a lot of Giants creators are looking at going, and I think it would be a lot of fun, especially for all the UK fans.
Yeah, good for them. They get the New York Giants team. I believe the Giants are actually undefeated in the UK. I believe 2-0, I want to say. So,
well, that will be ending.
All right. Alex already predicting the Aaron Rodgers, famous quarterback, top quarterbacks in the NFL, MVP winner, to come in and get the job done in London. But yeah, get as the British reference, here we come. Get your tea and biscuits ready for this one, because it's going to be a fun 9:30 a.m. matchup here in the Eastern Standard Time, Alex.
They could be playing us on Mars and we'd still be losing. It doesn't matter where we're playing.
Already the negativity coming through. This is wonderful Giants fans at work here. What I was going to mention now is, I mean, I guess referring to that, we were texting about the game. I sent it to you. I was like, Giants playing in London. And you were like, oh, great. So now the Giants don't get to just ruin my night. They get to ruin my entire day, because they can lose right at, you know, at 11 a.m. in the morning, and it'll just ruin the rest of my day compared to if they're playing a 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, or even 8 o'clock game. They'll ruin my night. Yeah, you do make a point there, Alex. It's a good one. It's a little different. So
I think in general, the 4 o'clock games are the best, because you can recover. Because if it's Sunday or Monday or Thursday night, the whole next day you feel shitty, because it kind of feels like you're barely getting any sleep that night. You're up late anyway, and it's like, it's just not good. But the 4 o'clock games, you have all day up until 4 o'clock for your day to not be bad. And then after 4 o'clock, right, a game ends at 7 o'clock. You kind of have your dinner, you're depressed, you know, assuming the Giants lose, which they usually do recently. And then, you know, it gets better. You know, you go upstairs, do your thing. I don't know, watch TV, play video games, whatever you want to do. Do homework in our case. And then you go to bed, and then the next day it's like you're not really thinking about the game anymore. So 4 o'clock is the elite time for the Giants games, in my opinion, in case anyone was interested, even though they're definitely not.
Moving on now to we talk about some rookie minicamp stuff. Dan Duggan reported that the New York Giants, he's seeing a lot of teams are holding rookie minicamps this weekend. So obviously the 7th and 8th, signing their draft picks. While the Giants don't need to sign their picks in quotation marks until before training camp, they typically give the bulk of pick signing bonuses within 2 weeks of signing. Imagine Thibodeau and Neal would prefer to get those eight-figure checks sooner than later. Another reason why James Bradberry's situation will be resolved sooner than later, despite Joe Shane not meeting his suggested deadline for a resolution. And then a Giants fan asked in the comments, any thoughts on why there's a delay and, you know, coordinating the timing of additional cuts, roster moves, which Duggan responded, not sure on why the delay, but there won't be a pay cut or an extension. A restructure would be a stunning reversal by the Giants, so still expecting a release sooner than later. And as Alex and I were checking before the podcast, we were making sure the cap situation still stands in the negative markings. And that is exactly right. The Giants are still negative when it comes to cap space at the current moment. Next year in 2023, whole different story, because they didn't pick up Daniel Jones' fifth year option. Saquon Barkley's a free agent. Two big notable names on this Giants offense that I know won't be, you know, on the team officially next year. And that's why we have so much money. I think, Alex, you said about $80 million next year. In cap space. But for right now, still in the negatives. And Joe Shane, Alex, earlier this week, you said Joe Shane mentioned that Bradberry will not be on the team later this week. Well, it's Sunday and he's still on the team. So where did you hear that from?
He said a resolution will most likely come by the end of the week.
And that's what was he said on his interview with WFAN, Tiki
Tierney? Yeah, he did. It was during that interview.
Got it.
But going to the James Bradberry situation, if you include the signing of the picks, right, which we're going to have to do, it's not like you can avoid doing that, the Giants will have negative $12.1 million in cap room. Now, the Giants can save $12.4 million by cutting James Bradberry, which would obviously put them under the cap and give them barely any breathing room. You'd still probably have to make a couple cuts, possibly in O'Shane Zimenez, possibly in Nick Gates, maybe some players who you signed who maybe won't work out in training camp, etc. But that's kind of the cap situation. I don't see a way that they don't cut Bradberry. I don't see it, to be honest. I wanted them to restructure him originally, but unfortunately, I just don't think it's a good idea. I think we're going to have to end up losing him. It's going to be really sad. I mean, he was a player who, you know, I always admired on this team, always put in good effort, always played well for the most part, and was kind of one of the highlights of the past couple of years. So it's going to be sad to see him go, but I'd say at this point, it's probably 95% that he is going to be no longer a New York Giant after the next couple of weeks, or definitely and probably not by rookie minicamp. So it'll be sad to see him go. He posted something on his Instagram story too, so kind of hinting at it as well. But yeah, I agree. I don't think the Giants will restructure him. I don't think there's going to be a trade partner. And I think the Giants will have to end up cutting him, which is very upsetting. But you can thank Dave Gettleman for that one.
Moving on to the next piece of news. And that is, so basically, Landon Collins, yes, former safety of the New York Giants, 28 years old. 28 years old. I was looking at free agents and I saw the Commanders release Landon Collins. Now, if he is signing with the Giants, and it would be the minimum deal, what is that, like 1 year, $2 million, something like that, a little over $2 million, I want to say, would you do it? Because for right now, for right now, let me make my case a little bit. For right now, like on the depth chart, you're looking, the only strong safety we have is McKinney, I believe. I know Dane Belton's there, but he's more of a free safety. We have Julian Love at free safety. I don't believe on the depth chart there's two strong safeties. I could be wrong. And Landon Collins.
Okay.
Nope. Now I have to make my case. Landon Collins is a strong safety. And when we've seen him at his best, we know he's very good. I know there's issues as well off the field with him. Only 28 years old. I'm saying hypothetical if he were to sign the 1 year, like over a little over $2 million minimum salary. Would you do it? And I know your answer already, but
I'll give you a few reasons as to why. I think number one, he's not going to take a minimum deal. I don't think you're probably going to have to pay him similarly to what we paid Logan Ryan a couple years back. So you're probably looking at $5-7 million 1 year deal for him, and we can't afford that. We're not a win now team. Landon Collins is not a long term player that we're going to have in this team. And I could see it kind of him playing well and us going back into another Logan Ryan situation. So that scares me. And also, I think with the three safeties you mentioned, a lot of those guys can, you know, they're versatile. I think they can play strong and free safety. I think we are also going to play a lot of single high. So I think that's also something to keep in mind with the safeties. And Yusuf Corker out of Kentucky, the undrafted free agent, I think has a very strong chance of making the team. A lot of people had him projected to be drafted in the 5th, 6th, 7th round. And, you know, maybe it's not going to be the strongest position for us. But again, we're not a win now team. Let's see how it plays out. Maybe we sign another guy, but I don't see Collins being the person, especially with his history with the Giants. There's just too many roadblocks for it to happen, in my opinion. I have seen other people talk about it, though. But I would be shocked.
All right. And then our final piece of news here on the board. Speaking of James Bradberry, still the Philadelphia Eagles, our NFC East rivals, are expected to, quote, aggressively pursue cornerback James Bradberry if he does get released. And that was per Justin M. NFL. Justin Malo is a NFL writer for the Draft Network. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. Howie Roseman has also been routinely tied to Bradberry through this process. Now, I would be like, why the hell are the Giants interacting with the Eagles if it was a trade? But release, he can go to any team he wants. for him to go to an NFC East rival would suck. I mean, let's be honest here. It would suck. But, you know, knowing our luck as Giants fans, probably be the case. Alex, I mean, do you have anything on this? I mean, it's all rumors to this point, right? But
yeah, it certainly would suck. I would say this. I think he's going to have quite a few suitors, actually, if he does get cut. The reason no one wants to trade for him is because his contract right now is just not ideal. You could make the money better in a new contract. Obviously, if he's released, you can sign him on a new deal. It's just way more beneficial for him to be released. And I think he's going to have a number of options. I think the Chiefs, I think possibly the Bengals, maybe that's a team that's interested in him. You know, the Eagles, obviously. I mean, there's countless teams that could be interested in someone like James Bradbury. There's not many top 15, top 20 corners on the market. And he's a solid number one and a very, very high end number two if you wanted him in that category. So I think there's going to be plenty of suitors for James Bradbury. And I don't think it's just going to be the Eagles, but I think the Eagles definitely are one of the top teams going to be looking for him and probably one of his top destinations. I think it's a good fit for him as well in that defense. But yeah, we'll see what happens with James Bradbury. Really upsetting situation for sure. Really like James Bradbury, but, you know, sometimes, what do they say? Shit happens.
Yeah, indeed. Sometimes that stuff does happen, Alex. And normally, yeah, sometimes shit happens. Sorry, I didn't know. Trying not to curse, okay? I did it anyway. Normally, when I watch a Barstool Rundown, once they get through all their points here, they go into what they call the after show, and that's anyone who's on the current episode. They talk about anything they wanted to talk about. You have any points here you got for the quote-unquote after show here? You know, anything you wanted to mention besides I can start first. Just quick thing here. I'm super excited to see. I know we always know the opponents going in, but it's always interesting to see how the schedule goes from week one to week 18. And you know, always getting the schedule predictions to be like, oh man, this is a winnable game. We can win this game. And then getting to like, yeah, we can win 9 or 10 games this year. And then always going under that mark. Every single season we try to predict a winning season, it never goes our way. That is my after show topic.
Yeah, that's your app. I would say something similar. I'm excited to see the schedule as well. I'm going to make predictions, obviously, we have too much time to not make predictions. So unfortunately it has to happen, but, yeah, I'm excited to see the schedule and, you know, I'm hoping this season that we'll be able to go to a few more games than we did last season. And hopefully the Giants will be a little bit better. But yeah, I'm excited to hopefully go to more games next season and, you know, maybe some better games towards the beginning of the season, easier start, so we can get some wins. That would really be nice.
We thought that last year.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's kind of my thoughts.
We also had,
hopefully we have a more fun season.
Yeah, yeah. We also had rookie numbers come out. So that was a big thing. I think Evan Neal got 70, if I'm not mistaken. And then yeah. Thibodeau fighting with Graham Gano for number 5 there. I wonder what he gave him. We still don't know exactly. I don't know if it was money, if it was a gift. Very interesting.
Well, we don't even know if he got it yet.
I think Gano would give it to him. Gano said he would give it to him. They had the whole FaceTime photo where they're like, right. That was so cool. They're on FaceTime talking about the number. So Thibodeau wants it. I think Gano will give it to him. So pretty cool there. And yeah, that would be the after show, I guess, of this episode of the Giant Take Podcast, episode 168. So a few things you can do to help support us before we get out of here. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to the podcast. If you want to find out most places to listen, go to shipitstudios.com/giant take. That's shipitstudios.com/giant take. On there, most places where you can find the podcast to listen to it. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Giant Take. Follow us on Twitter and TikTok at The Giant Take Pod, Instagram and Facebook, The Giant Take Podcast. Alex is on Twitter at Anorian23. I'm on Twitter at JoshJolo29. And then, yeah, with that, Giants content to come, and I assume an episode later this week when the schedule officially gets released. So there you go. Yeah, there's me talking about, you know, what I'm assuming is going to happen, although I shouldn't be making those. I already, you know, I'm already doubting my own ability.
We will have an episode out 100,000,000% at 9 a.m. Friday morning after the schedule. We'll be pulling it all night. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see what happens. But yes, I would expect later this week.
I think it's your cue, Alex.
Yeah, I think it's time. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening to today's episode. It's been a nice fun one, and we'll be back with the schedule at a time that we are not going to commit to right now, and we'll see you all next time. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.